Welcome to the Flow Podcast with Marcus Johnson, where we talk about all things for the love of you. I'm your host, Marcus Johnson. The Flow Podcast is designed to discuss life topics and explore some tools to help you actively engage in your life. Sometimes we feel lost, we feel alone, we lack focus, and just feel stuck. And sometimes we're on a roll and want to keep it going. And during the next several minutes, my aim is to help you understand that all of this is just a part of the human experience. It's part of the flow. Flow is spelled F-L-O with no W, and it means for the love of. As an award-winning entrepreneur, musician, lawyer, professor, and most importantly, a dad and partner, I've had many experiences that have taught me the invaluable lessons and tools that we all can use to achieve our highest flow. Actually, these tools help us to realize where we are, where we want to be, and the model we can use to get there. We call it going deeper. Deeper is D-E-E-P-E-R, dream, engage, environment, plan, execute, and reflect. It's the life model within which we operate this podcast. So buckle up, get centered, and fall into the present as we begin to develop our highest flow. It's after all, as I say, it's for the love of you. Well, you all, I'm going to tell you this. Welcome to episode 8 right now. We've gone through the deeper model in dreaming, making sure that you have a dream that is personal to you and yours, that it's something that is not just society's, what society and your community says that you should do, but it's something that has been given to you through your life experiences that you've taken chances on and that you feel is, you know, something that to achieve and something that you just want to do. It's okay to just want to do something. It's your life, it's your dream. Then to be engaged in it, to find out what you need to do in order to reach that dream, to the skilling up that you may need to do, the education, the teammates you may want to do. I mean, you know, if your dream is to find peace, you may need to pick up additional team members like a psychotherapist or a coach to help you, you know, go through the craziness and madness that is everyday life, or we'll say that promises a level of instability. Use your teammates like a coach, like an accountability partner, like a psychotherapist, or all three, so that you can be engaged in it now. After you do that, you have to write it down on paper and sign a contract to yourself saying, hey, look, I am engaged in this. I am engaging you, self, in order to reach this goal, and have a witness there with you. Then you have to have the environment. It has to be fertile. You have to have constructively critical people in your life, people that tell you yes and tell you why, and they tell you no and they tell you why. Then it's the P. It's making sure that you have your written plan. And the last two shows have gone deep into using your calendar, finding out how you budget the most important thing that you have in your life, which is your time. It is the most scarce resource that we have. Yet in school, we're not really taught how to use it effectively and how to invest in our time into ourselves and invest time into time so that we know exactly what we want to do. Your calendar is a good friend there. Your budget is a very good friend there. How much money you have, what you need to execute upon your dream. These are things that, you know, when you put on paper, you get to see where you're going. Because I guarantee you this, I am one who can say I'm going to the kitchen, and if my phone rings or if I get a notification of a text, I'm going to lose my way. If my daughter calls and says, daddy, daddy, I have this issue. If my partner calls me and says, baby, I need you to do this, I am going to jump up in the middle of it and do it. But where does that leave me when I come back? Well, it leaves me going back to my written plan that I thought about. I took time out to make sure that when I get off my way, I get back on track and I still continue on. And sometimes we figure, you know, when we go on our plan, it may take us in different directions than we thought. That's okay too, because this is life. This is, we don't live perfection. We live life. And now that we have a dream, we're engaged in it, we have our environment around us, the people, places, things, and ideas that we need, a written plan. Now it's time to execute. We're almost done and going to get into some great panelists coming in and guests that'll talk about different ways that they go deeper. We only have the reflection phase to go through, but man, execution is so important. As I did my definitions or my research on the definition of execution, it is defined as the steps needed and the process through which we act on our decisions. Now, there are many people out here, and at times even me, I think things just happen. And for the sake of going deeper, execution is tied directly to your decisions. And our decisions are what we use to change our lives, not just happenstance. And I think this is something also that we're not taught in school. We're not taught in our families. As a result, we're taught consequences. And I would say even more so, we're taught punishment. You know, you're going to pay for this if you don't do it the way that I need you to do it or I thought you should do it. But when you're dealing with these things in your life, these are decisions that you're making based on a written plan, based on, you know, where you want to be. And I don't necessarily believe that life is just about destiny. And I know that there are people of faith out there that is like, you know, would say, well, there's God's plan. And I would say, absolutely. But the other part of that is that God gave us free will. If you're a Christian, you got free will all through it. God set up the rules because it always has been and always will be. Those are the rules, the laws of attraction, the laws of gravity, the laws, those physical laws that and even spiritual kind of laws that are the basis through which we can manifest our dreams. But that's free will. That's for us to use, to make the decision to use the law of attraction, the law of assumption, that I am going to assume and see myself where I'm going to be. All this takes, it's a spark. And, you know, I was listening to a couple of people and they really believe that motivation is kind of overrated. Motivation is the thing that is like, you define a period of time in which you're operating. Look, that person is motivated because they do these things. You don't necessarily do these things because you're motivated. And I hope you understand that distinction. There's a thought out there that there's a spectrum as it relates to being unmotivated, motivated, and inspired. And the key foundation on this is that only a person can take themselves. You can only be the one. You're the only one that can take yourself from being unmotivated to motivated, meaning I am going to execute upon this. I am going to go deeper on this. And then once you're motivated, then people can come into your life where you actually find inspiration. Again, tying life models to it, making sure that you have a plan around it, making sure that you spend time with yourself so that you're going deeper, making sure that you're feeling good about where you're going. And when you're not, you're changing that. That's inspired living. But it's all based on different levels of sparks that in and of themselves are execution and motion. And that's what I think motivation is. It's, you know, the dictionary definition is that motivation is the process that initiates, guides, and maintains goal-oriented behaviors. It's what causes you to act, whether it's like getting a glass of water to reduce thirst or reading a book to gain knowledge. And motivation involves the biological, emotional, social, and cognitive forces that activate behavior. So they're saying motivation kind of gets you there. I kind of think execution gets you to motivation. And I'm going to talk about that as we go down and give you kind of a framework with which to, you know, actually get the spark to be motivated, to then get it inspired. And, you know, I think that motivation in and of itself, as well as execution, is a habit that you have to learn. You have to be introduced to it in many ways. And that's what we're doing here. And I hope that you then go out and tell people, like, you don't have to take this. You know that, right? You don't have to stay here. You don't have to be a victim, no matter what it is. You can get help, create a fertile environment, make sure you get people around you to even help push you past your kind of obstacle points where you might slow down. And it's your decisions and your micro decisions or your micro hesitations that make up your habit. And when we're talking about execution, and actually getting things done, right? So the steps needed in the process through which we act on our decisions. Why don't we execute? Because we hesitate. And why do we hesitate? Well, there are a couple of different reasons. You know, in general, we hesitate based on old ideas of what is safe and what isn't. And this is kind of evolutionary from the beginning of instinctual behavior of being a human. You know, it's natural. It's natural. But what I want you to do is, you know, I want you to go deeper. Deeper is not a natural thing to do. Deeper is a courageous thing to do. And courage is the idea that in the face of fear, you do it anyway. So in the face of you not reaching your dream, you should dream anyway. In the face of you not engaging or having a fertile environment, you should still go deeper anyway. If you don't have a written plan, and God, I am banging on this table, begging that you do. But even if you don't have a written plan, I'm still saying that you should be courageous and still go further and further in your model of being deeper and executing upon your plan and reflecting in your life cycle so that you can reach that dream of yours. Even if you fail, that's courage. You know, our brains hesitate because it is a way of saving us from ridicule, from physical pain, from unknowing. And you know, ultimately, you know, when you're looking at ridicule and the fact that I think there was a study out there that said that people actually fear ridicule more so than they do death in the living. That's crazy. So if somebody is going to critique you, you're so scared of that, that it makes, I mean, leads you to a point of paralysis. I'm telling you, that is kind of a natural feeling. So it's easier not to say anything because our brains are like, yo, look, why would I want to go do that? They may talk about me. I may feel bad about myself. Thus, people's fear of speaking or, you know, public speaking. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to, when you hesitate, I'm asking you to speak up. I'm asking you to stand up for yourself. I'm asking you to take the chance to speak up in a meeting, in a class, or to your significant other. Think about where you may be in your career right now. Or think about where you want to be in your career right now, or in your relationship, or in a relationship right now. But you know you need to speak up. What I'm challenging you to do is to take the courageous step of going deeper and stepping up, executing, jumping into it, and speaking up for yourself. I'm asking you on those days you don't want to get out of bed. And I used to laugh with my friends even in college. I was like, yo, look, I don't know. There are mornings that I've awakened and I felt great and I still didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't have aches and pains, et cetera, et cetera. And I still got out of bed. We'll talk about how you can do that in a little bit. I'm asking you to eat the right things in your life. I'm asking you to stay away from toxicity. Again, environment, people, places, things, and ideas. And what about food? Food and ideas, the things that we consume. You know, in the Buddhist, those who follow Buddhism, there's an idea that there's a commitment to our bodies and our souls that we will not ingest things that are toxic. And when you do that, it makes it easier to be courageous. And that goes back to the fact that I really want you to understand that this is not a natural process. So when you feel anxiety around taking a step or speaking up for yourself, yo, I understand. You still got to do it anyway. When you think that you may fail, you might, but you might succeed. So I can guarantee you one thing, though. If you don't try, the answer is always no. And why is it hard? Well, because everything in life that deals with growth that I've seen has a little bit of pain and suffering in it. I am, you know, constantly working out and, you know, I work out 3 to 5 days a week. And I wonder sometimes, I'm like, man, will the aching ever stop? Well, no, because I keep pushing further. But the other thing is, I feel different when I don't work out for 3 days. And it's a different kind of pain and ache. And that's not where I want to be. I want to make sure that my system is flowing. Now, from time to time, I talk about a psychologist by the name of David Rico. David Rico is a PhD, but he's also a Buddhist. And by no means am I, you know, claiming any faith here. These are just thoughts and processes that you can apply to pretty much anything. But David Rico talks about the inevitabilities in life, and there are 5 of them. Number 1, everything changes and ends. Number 2, things do not always go according to plan. Number 3, life is not fair. Number 4, there's always suffering through growth. And number 5, people are not always loving and loyal all the time. they will let you down. I'm going to go through those again. The inevitabilities in life. Number one, everything changes and ends. Number two, things don't always go according to plan. Number three, life is not fair. Number four, there's always suffering through growth. And number five, people are not loving and loyal all the time. If you think about those five inevitabilities of life and the idea of the fact that things aren't permanent and impermanent, the anxiety and fear that we have in execution is the fact that we're actually scared of the fact that these things are inevitable, that things are impermanent. We're trying to make sure that, well, I don't want this to change. I feel good today. Why would I want to mess it up? Well, you can't dream and you can't go deeper and you can't change and you can't grow if you don't take the next step and one step in front of the other. We have to fight and understanding the inevitabilities of life in order to move forward. And that, when you understand that that is just part of the game, it's easy to go out and execute upon your dream because everything changes and ends. Where you are right now, even if you don't do anything, that is an active motion. Negative movement is an action. They don't go according to plan, okay? So you're going to mess up or things are going to be better than you thought. Life isn't fair, but that doesn't mean it's not always fair in a negative. What if you get a windfall of money? That to somebody else, that might not be fair, but it's fair to you, right? Come on, man. Think of the positives in these. There's always suffering through growth, but you're growing. You're growing towards the dream and the person that you want to be. People are not loving and loyal all the time, which means that they're not loving and loyal and not loyal all the time, too, meaning that they are loving and loyal a lot of the time as well, right? Think of the positives. That gets you to step up and take a chance on following and executing upon your decisions. Now, the deeper model is designed, you know, to make sure that you consider all these givens as you set up to engage in your life. Each stage has its steps that cause you to kind of micro execute on things like claiming your dream, researching how to get there, putting your health first in your relationships, physically manifesting it by putting it in writing, and now getting ready for your launch. And launch you will. But we're going to give you the countdown on how to do that in our part two of the Flow Podcast with Marcus Johnson and doing it for the love of executing your flow, man. So your takeaways for this week are, number one, David Rico. Remember the inevitabilities of life. Everything changes and ends. Things don't always go according to plan. Life is not fair. There's always suffering through growth, and people are not always loving and loyal. Also, you're going to put that into the context of the fact that executing and following your dream is not a natural process. Your brain and instincts are set up to protect you so that you don't feel ridicule, death, physical pain, you know, unknowing, those things that are uncomfortable. Your body actually takes that and physically it manifests in psychosomatic pain, meaning you actually take the psychology in your head and feel a certain way. The other thing is understanding that motivation and execution, there really are decisions and our decision to act on it. So as we go into our next part two of executing upon your flow, I want you to think about the fact that there is a way to launch, just like a spaceship. And we're going to talk about Mel Robbins and her ideas behind that, getting you to go ahead and knock it out of the box, because I want you to go deeper and realize that dream and the next dream and the next dream and on and on and on deeper. It's dreaming, engaging in it. It's a fertile environment. It's your written plan. It's execution and reflection. For more information on the deeper model, you can visit MarcusJohnson360.com for my audiobook and or contact me directly there. This is the Flow Podcast with Marcus Johnson, where we speak all things for the love of you. I look forward to seeing you next week as we talk about part two of executing upon your flow. I'm your host, Marcus Johnson, and I love you. I love you. I love you. Always remember, you all, do your flow. Take care.